When was the last time you used your car horn? There is a whole movement to get rid of the car horns because people say it makes others too aggressive.
Well, some people can use it aggressively. There's a tone you can use with your horn, Anna.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday, and there was a whole lot of calls that came in. When was the last time you used your horn, and for what? 1-800-330-9999. Tim?
About 12.7 seconds ago.
What? Come on.
No, man, honestly, I try not to use my horn. The area that I live in, it's a lot of high traffic, so people are already using their horns.
Right.
So I'm trying to be the one to just quiet the noise a little bit. So I try not to, but if I do, it's strictly for safety. That's what it's for anyway, so I try to use it just for safety.
So, like, if you hit the horn because somebody does something unsafe around you, is it a real quick tap? Or is it, are you one of those holders? What is it?
Oh, I'm a well into it. I don't use it that much. When I go in, I'm going to go in, you know? So I'm just going to hold it down and just let it go until everybody gets the message. So
no, I can't do it. Can't do it.
Yeah. It gets aggressive.
Even if I'm not involved in your fight, I don't want to deal with it.
The way you handle your horn says a lot about you as a person.
Right.
And if you're aggressively pushing it, it's not saying something good.
See, you quiet most of the time, but then you volcano.
Yeah. Right?
My therapist would have a lot to say about this.
Angela, how about you? When last time you used your car horn?
I use it all the time. I've got kids. I'm pregnant. If you don't see me coming, I'm not going to take a chance. I give people a warning. Like, I'm coming. Don't even think about merging here. I'm always using it.
She's a horn girl. She's a horn girl. That's what she does.
Yeah. You can get away with using the horn all the time. Because I think that,
better safe than sorry.
If I see the mom with a bunch of kids, that I'm probably pretty forgiving about her horn usage. Who else can get away with using the horn all the time? The Pope?
Priest. I was about to say priest.
Yeah. Pope, priest, anybody like that. You know, but they got to be in the full regalia, right?
The presidential cars.
Presidential cars don't even need, they can just push you right out of the way. Plows, fire engines.
Yes.
They can knock you right out
Ambulances,
of the way.
Ambulances, obviously. They have
anybody
sirens.
Anybody else, but like regular person, who else can do it?
I guess like referees, you're late for a game. Everybody's waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd give them a pass.
Yeah.
We need you to start the game.
That's about it.
Right.
Erica, how often do you use your horn? When was the last time you used it?
Only in emergencies. I don't honk if anybody's not moving ahead of me. I just sit there and just whip around them and show them that they need to pay attention.
You know, I basically do the same thing. Can you even remember the last time you hit it?
Somebody was looking at their phone, not paying attention. There was a couple of cars ahead of me that had the right of way to turn. Somebody was about to walk the crosswalk and almost got hit.
Yeah. I'm thinking the only time I go to hit it is when somebody's about to sideswipe me. And it's the same thing. We're on the highway. They're on their phone. They're not paying attention to the lane. Any other time other than that, I feel like I'm throwing down the gauntlet and telling you I want to fight.
Yeah, I just try to keep it to emergencies only.
All right, David, how often do you use your car horn and the most common reasons why?
I got to say, in over 20 years, I've probably only used it maybe less than 10 times. I only use it for, like, funny reasons. I'm pulling up to a friend's house. I hit him with a da-da-da-da-da, something like that. Like, I think I've only used it for emergencies. Like, maybe somebody was merging and almost hit me. Like, that maybe happened, like, twice in my life.
It's funny you should bring up the picking up of somebody. My husband, it infuriates him if I roll up and I honk the horn to let him know I'm outside.
Same.
I have to text him or call him to let him know. And I don't understand why, because there was a period of my life where that was the completely normal way to let people know that you've arrived and to come out.
Totally true. Totally true. It was the way.
I don't know why he gets so mad. He's like, don't honk the horn at me. And I go, but how would you know that I'm here?
I also do not like the horn to be honked at me.
I do. I want to know that you've arrived and I'm leaving now and I could put my shoes on and go.
Well, I'll keep that in mind, but do not summon me. It's like ringing the bell for the butler. Mm-mm.
Anna and Ravens, pick 'em news.
Three news stories. They're all trending, but you only get to hear about one, and Raven decides which one it is.
Well, I hope that they're interesting, Anna Zapp.
They are today. I kind of couldn't figure out myself which one I'd want to hear, but I know them all. Number one, factory worker receives all his colleagues' salaries, refuses to return the money.
Hey, that's your guy's fault, all right? This is my money now, totally my money.
Story number two, judge stunned at officer going pantsless on Zoom appearance.
Oh, man. You always hope they're not going to show up for your hearing, but if they showed up with no pants, that's almost just as good, right?
And number three, Maine is sorry for sending letters to 531 hospital patients telling them they are dead.
You know what, Maine? That wasn't very nice of you. I'm going to go with Deputy Pantless. Why not?
So last Monday, a Detroit police officer. His name is Matthew Jackson.
Oh, man, like not like in the middle of the woods or nothing. Detroit.
Yep. Showed up for court.
Amazing.
It was one of those virtual, you know, court hearings. Sure. First of all, I can't believe they still do these. I thought we were done with that, but yes.
It speeds things up.
Okay.
That way, you know, people can appear and they don't have to actually go to the courthouse.
So it was a Zoom hearing, mm-hmm. and he was wearing his uniform top. He had on his badge.
Yeah.
But as clear as we could all see, if you go and you Google the video, he ain't got no pants on.
You know what?
He got no pants.
First indicator of that, officer, is where is your utility belt, all right? You can't carry extra ammo if you have no belt, if you have no pants.
He wasn't sitting behind a table or anything like that. He was seated higher than the camera, so it showed him just sitting in his boxers with his bare legs. And the judge immediately realized.
Yes, Officer Jackson, badge number 3919, out of the 12th precinct.
All right. Do you got some pants on, officer?
No, sir.
No, sir. No pants on. No, sir. No,
you
sir.
You got some pants on, officer?
No, sir.
Now, here's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Did he... He can't know that the judge can't see his pant, that he has his boxers on.
Yeah, I mean, right? Until the judge asks.
Right.
Right. And then at that moment, it's, oh my gosh.
Right.
You can't lie.
Okay. Because I'm like, I wonder, like, did he just decide, I don't need to wear pants.
Right.
And, like, it's fine if they see it. They get it. I'm home. I've got this badge on. They know I work here.
It's all lights, mirrors, and angles here, all right? And, you know, I'm guessing that this officer is not too familiar with the Zoom. Mm-hmm. Or maybe his partner is a little bit upset with him and helped set it up. Oh, yeah, I'll help you set it up. No problem. You're just going to sit here and you'll be able to do it.
But, you know, during COVID, this was obviously a very big thing. Mm-hmm. People showing up on the Zoom, they had on the shirt, the business on top, nothing on the bottom.
Right.
They would stand up. But I thought it was over. I will tell you, my husband works from home usually like 1 or 2 days a week.
Does he only wear half his clothes?
Only half.
Is that right?
Still. I'm like, what are you doing?
Is he sitting in his boxers or a pair of gym shorts
He'll either be in his like gym shorts or he'll be in track pants. Shirt, tie, ready to go.
Buttoned up up top.
All buttoned up.
All business
my
up top.
My handsome husband. On the bottom, schlub.
And I was funny.
Like, just put on a pair of pants. He's like, why? I'm just sitting in my office.
Well, to be fair, he's not testifying.
It's true. Right?
So,
it's
you know.
True. Yeah. What do you do for your contractors? Do you, like when they come work at your house, do you automatically just put out a case of water and say, this is for you? Do you cook for them? Do you leave the door unlocked even if you're not home so they can go inside and outside your home freely to use the bathroom?
You know what? This is a lot that you're putting on me here with these questions because I'm about ready to have a bunch of work done at the house. And I don't know what to do. The contractor is a friend of a friend, but he's getting paid. It's not like he's coming in, you know, discount rate or whatever, but am I supposed to feed this guy lunch?
Well, so here's the thing. I have a conundrum at my home.
Okay.
I have to always use my dad's guys. My dad's got guys.
Right.
You know, he's just, that's my Italian dad. He's got all his guys. We've got to use his guys.
Right.
So we have his guys that are working on our patio right now.
And same thing when it's like a friend of a friend or somebody's guys, like you got to take some of the nuances that come with it, right? Well, like some of the things that come along with that.
My dad, you know, he used to flip houses. So he has great relationships with all his quote unquote guys.
Yeah.
But I remember when these guys were working on their house not too long ago, he would go out every afternoon and he would grill for them. He would make them hamburgers, hot dogs. At the end, he would make them steaks. He would have beers. He would have all this stuff that was out for them. And I'd be like, Dad, you're not having a barbecue. And
he'd be like, it's so much fun for him.
Anna, you take care of them. They're going to take care of you.
Well, I mean.
And I understand that.
I think that with certain people, that's very true. But it's not always true.
Well, so I don't do any of those things. So here's the problem. Between being a working full-time mom and having two kids that I'm chasing after and all the other things, I don't have time to make hamburgers and hot dogs in the afternoon.
Sure.
And like, it's not my style. But I don't know when do I offer and what do I offer. And I said to him, I was like, do you need to use my bathroom? And like, it's the weirdest thing and I'm not quite sure what to do.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a guy, I'm not in the woods. So, I mean, I've got a guy who's right there. He's going to be at my house putting a new door on there. And that means that there'll be a big hole in my house until he's done. I'd like to think that he's going to do a great job with it. At the end of the day, I just want it to not leak and not be, you know, I don't know, just a big hole anymore at that point. But I don't know if that means that I'm supposed to make a mistake.
Right.
Do I make a mistake the second day?
Is that a normal thing? Can you help us out? When you have people working at your home, or if you're a contractor, please call so we can know what the norm is across the board. What do you do? 1-800-330-9999. Owen.
I mean, I live in the woods, so they can find a tree.
That's what my guy said. I said, you know, you can come in anytime you want. And he said, you have a lot of woods here. I'll be fine. But I'm like, what if it's not number one? You know,
well,
like,
they have a truck that, you know, they can go find a gas station or something. Like, I mean, what do you want from me? If I'm not going to make you take your shoes off.
Anna's first thought
is, I'm blowing up my bathroom.
I don't want to walk over here to this tree where you peed and lean against it mistakenly. I want to know where you went.
No, I mean, I have a whole murder acre. You know, I call the murder acre. I have an acre. In addition to where my house is and everything, where it's just overgrown, I think, ticks and trees.
Right.
So I don't ever go back there. We just throw things back there. So you could go venture into the murder acre, but I don't know. I would have no problem having you come inside my house.
Coincidentally, that's a really good band name. Murder Acre.
Murder Acre.
Might be onto something.
All right, if you work with contractors at your home, or if you are a contractor, 1-800-330-9999, what do you expect from the homeowners? Or if you are a homeowner, what do you give your contractors? You have contractors working at your home. What do you offer them? What's the norm? Do you just leave the door unlocked in case they need to go in and go to the bathroom if they're working outside?
If they're in the basement, it's always easy because we just leave the bulkhead open and it's like they can do whatever they want to, come and go as they need to throughout the day. But like, you know, up this weekend, dude's going to be in my living room.
Yeah. So I've been having construction on my house for a long time now. And my dad always, this is the same guy as my dad uses, cooks for them every day. Makes hamburgers and hot dogs.
Yeah.
I don't understand, but is that the norm? If you're a contractor, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-330-9999. But what do you do when you have people working at your home? Tracy.
I had an addition put on my house.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys would sometimes be dropped off with no car. So if they were, I'd get them to make them sandwiches, order a pizza. And I always put a huge pitcher of iced tea.
Oh, you're nice.
Outside on the front deck.
Yeah.
They had... At least it was summertime. It was hot out.
Yeah. I mean, she's super nice. I mean, Anna, you going to do that?
Order pizza?
You know what I was thinking about it is, like, if you were to cook for them, and these are your father's guys, and he usually cooks for them when they do, like, you know, work on his house or whatever.
I know what you're going to say, cuz my dad is a chef, and you're going to say, cuz I don't know how to do anything.
Well, you're a radio host, a chef.
I can order pizza. I'm really good at it. My fingers work just great.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure, listen, there's no pizza that's a bad pizza. Everybody loves pizza. So, I'm sure that works, but
all right, that's why it was just an easy. Well, you could have your dad come over and cook.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? He showed up over the weekend with donuts and coffee for everybody. I'm like, Dad, you're just making me look bad.
Again.
I know.
Over and over.
Thanks, Tracy.
Chris, when you've got contractors working at your house, what's your policy? Do you feed them? Do you provide drinks? What?
So I try to be as like kind and attentive as possible. You know, I feel like sometimes I feel like I'm even hovering a little bit. A, because I want to make sure that, like, you know, there's no miscommunications in terms of like what I'm expecting, but also because, you know, they are in a strange place. I want them to feel comfortable using the bathroom or, you know, if they need water or something. It's a little self-serving because I'm always hopeful that if I'm the kindest, you know, if I'm the kindest client, maybe I'll get a discount or something. It's always, that's in the back of my mind.
100%. Yeah. I'm always like, if I just offer a little more, they're going to make this stone wall prettier.
They're going to throw a little bit something in. They've already given you the quote. I mean, right? Like, I mean, they've already talked to somebody, negotiated something before they get there. There's no give backs.
I like to add things.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? Why don't we do the front steps too? You're here.
You know, if you're adding things, maybe, but you got to be negotiating on the fly. I think you have the sandwich in your hand, right? You have the pitcher of Kool-Aid or lemonade or whatever in your hand, and you go, what if I had this lemonade over here and we were negotiating these stairs at the same time? Like, you got to be clear about these things.
I don't know. I feel like you just do it out of the goodness of your heart.
Let me just say this one thing. If I'm a contractor, you're saying you're trying to be kind and they feel safe in a strange environment. They work in a strange environment every day. That's their job. It's one of the best parts about it that there's variety. And the biggest part after that is if you're the homeowner, I want you anywhere but over my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you watching me. You want to save money? hang around the first day and then disappear after that. And if you do that, maybe I will be nice to you. Who knows?
Are you longing for the revival of Hooters? Because it's coming at you. So Hooters filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy early this year.
You know, the funny thing is I thought they went out of business a couple of years ago.
They closed a lot of locations across the country, but there's still many, many that are open.
And
what a lot of people don't know about the whole Hooters franchise is that it was like a battle between two different people, two different owners.
I didn't know that at all.
For years, Hooters has been operated by two different companies. One owned by private equity that emphasizes the brand's sex appeal, and the other, which includes the original founders, that says the restaurant is actually family-oriented and always has been.
This is amazing. Wait a minute. So the mean, terrible bankers, the evil empire, actually want your daughters to go in there and dress...
It's different.
Suggestively. And they want to go ahead and portray that Hooters sexy image there. So it's bikini night and all that stuff.
So if you watched the video that they posted, the original founder, his whole thing was that it was a family establishment. The shorts were longer.
Mm-hmm.
They wore the socks. They wore stockings. It was considered beach vibe.
Okay.
His whole thing was that the women looked like they were supposed to be at the beach.
Right.
But what happened was is that the second group of franchisees came in. And they created more of a business model where they sexualized it.
Sure.
Right. And it was funny because I can't remember where I was, but not too long ago, I was in the car with my husband and my two girls, and we drove by a Hooters that was still in operation, and there was a grandfather walking in with a young girl holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, the first thing he said, he's like, yep, that's where I take my kids. I take them to Hooters. I take my girls to Hooters. And when I listened to this guy, I believed him.
Yeah.
I believed him when I said that this was supposed to be a family restaurant. So, what are they doing now, Raven?
After filing for bankruptcy earlier this year, Hooters says it's trying to bring all its restaurants back to that purportedly more wholesome vision.
Okay.
And this is the man leading that effort.
What do you think that does to the brand to have these two different operations, basically?
Well, so far, it's not done very well.
No.
What's the deterioration of not only the execution of the brand, but also the sales?
And now he bought 100 of them.
Yeah.
He bought 100 stores, and he's bringing it back the way it's supposed to be.
I never thought of Hooters as being all that great. They had a chicken sandwich that was okay. I never thought the wings were all that fantastic. I mean, they're basically like frozen wings that they fry. So, I mean, that's not great. A lot of people do, you know, regular wings at this point.
A lot of people. I thought the wings were good. I love restaurants that have themes. Dick's Last Resort, my family and I love it.
So weird to me.
Because love it.
Here's the thing. Like, I've been to Hooters plenty of times, right? I mean, no question about it. My father-in-law, for whatever reason, loves to do it when he's on vacation. And he loves the wings, which I find, again, a little bit weird. But when I go in there, I feel strange because it feels awkward to me. Like, there's no time when you're a regular age guy that your wife would walk into Hooters and be like, yep, this is where I wanted to find you.
I don't know.
And if I'm averting my eyes and I'm not, you know, do the, you know, the Hooters dance or whatever. Do they have a dance? I don't know.
No.
But you know, if they did or whatever, you know, then I feel like, okay, then I'm a prude too at the same time. Like, I feel awkward in there.
I like gimmicks. So maybe that's not my gimmick, but I like when a restaurant has a gimmick and it's interactive. Yeah. Like, I love that stuff.
If you've never been to Dick's,
entertainment.
If you've never been to Dick's, Dick's is famous for terrible service. They'll insult you, all those things.
But you know, and it's done tongue in cheek, and they throw things at you. They throw straws at
you.
They throw
hats on you.
They put hats on you, and then they write mean things about you on it. Yeah. I know that it's ridiculous, and I tell you they're not allergy friendly because I learned that last week.
Oh my
but
gosh.
I will tell you this. That it's fun.
Yeah.
And I like when places have like fun gimmicks, especially when they're family restaurants.
Well, so. You know what? I mean, listen, I'm sure that there's still some people out there for Hooters, so enjoy.
It's time for Student Teacher with Anna and Raven. Get ready to learn.
Student Teacher Day. Why should the kids have all the fun learning at school? This is when we have producer Justin, the smartest person on this staff, come in and teach us something. What are we learning about today, Justin?
Well, today we're going to debate club.
Oh, nice. Do you know that I started the debate club in my high school?
Oh, really? That's so cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah,
I was
definitely.
Only there the first year, then I got out of it. I figure I can argue with people anywhere.
It's true.
Yeah. No, you seem like you'd be a natural fit.
Mm-hmm.
As you may know, earlier this week, people across the country, in every precinct and municipality, we're taking up positions on two sides of an ongoing, raging debate.
Nobody ever skips Thanksgiving. Promise. If the twinkly lights and the Christmas music gives people the serotonin they need to survive, let them have it, please!
Is it too early to start decorating for the holiday season?
Of course. Every year this is the same thing. I'm a big respect the turkey person, and I don't put up a single Christmas thing, holiday thing, until after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but when's the last time that you went up on a ladder to put up lights for the house?
Never.
Exactly.
Right.
I'm looking to do it actually this weekend, as a matter of fact. I want to knock out the pool closing, which is a month and a half late, and then do the Christmas lights, which would be roughly a month early.
If you pay attention to social media, it seems to be like tilted severely. It's never too early to start.
We are shifting out of Halloween and into Christmas. Sometimes you will put your tree up even a touch before Halloween. The prep goes in. Is this true, Lacey?
I've already decorated. My family gives me such a hard time. They're like, Mom, how many holidays are you going to skip? I'm like, we're not skipping them. We're just doing them in a festive Christmas way.
It's absolutely ridiculous to put up your Christmas tree before Halloween. It is.
My neighbor has 11 Christmas trees.
That's ridiculous.
There's a Christmas tree in every single room. Some rooms are more elaborate than others, so it requires a good amount of time. Some of them just go back into storage exactly as they stand. You know, they got the Christmas tree bag you can put over it now. But other ones, you got to pull everything out.
Get that one more to round up for the 12 days of Christmas. Come on.
I'll let them know about your suggestion.
I did a little field research myself to see if this was all one-sided or if there was any division on the topic.
Thanksgiving week, lots of leaves on the ground, lots of food in the air, the smells of food in the air. Anything before that? No.
It's not cold everywhere. That's the problem.
After Thanksgiving, so maybe Black Friday or the latest, possibly December the 1st. But that's it. Not October and not before Thanksgiving. I think it's sacrilegious. Don't do it.
I agree with that.
Here's the thing. Is Black Friday already super busy? Because I'm doing the shopping after Thanksgiving. You're tired from Thanksgiving, from the visitors you had and cleaning up. You're doing the shopping. And then if you're like my family, we got to go out and get the Christmas tree right after that.
Saturday. So that's Friday's shopping. And Saturday is you putting up the holiday decorations and getting your Christmas tree. Duh. That's how it works.
Yeah,
right?
I like to rest at some point.
That's Sunday. Yep.
Thanksgiving weekend is when you can start decorating for the holidays. You can do the lights outside before, but you don't necessarily have to turn them on.
Halloween, year-round, Christmas, I'd say December 24th.
A dissenting opinion.
What? December 24th? That's when you decorate for Christmas?
She was a little bit of an odd one. Yeah. She has those stickers that make it look like her headlights have blood running off of them.
Okay.
When is it okay to begin decorating for the holidays? Any time of year?
Immediately. Absolutely immediately. Today. Yesterday. Anytime. If I could, I would put my Christmas tree and all my Christmas decorations up now.
The correct answer is whenever it makes you feel happiest.
That is the logical conclusion, yes.
This guy wanted more social media, and he got it. Not in the best way. It has been a weird 24 hours for the women of Mexico, Raven.
Okay, what are we talking about here?
Okay, so in Thailand right now, that's where Miss Universe 2025 is taking place. So there was a pre-pageant sashing ceremony, and the Thai pageant director, the organizer of the whole thing, publicly reprimanded the contestants for allegedly not posting to social media and promoting the country the way they were supposed to. But he gets up there, and you have all these beautiful women that are sitting there, right?
Sure.
And he stands up there and he says,
okay, Mexico, where are you? If you follow the order from your national director, you are the man.
Now, let me say that again. He said, Mexico, where are you? So he singles out Miss Mexico.
Yeah.
And she stands and he says, if you listen to your national director, who I guess had instructed her not to post whatever they were supposed to post to social, told her not to do it.
Yeah.
You are dummy. Now, there is some controversy whether he called her a dumbhead or a dummy.
Okay.
You can decide. I'm not sure what a dumbhead is.
Juvenile insult, but of course, you're doing this in front of everybody, and why do that?
With cameras.
Yeah.
Absolutely everywhere.
But are they filming this, too, because there's like some run-up shows or whatever? Because reality television, we know that people love to see a little bit of drama.
No, that's not what's happening here, Raven.
Okay.
This is a man that is reprimanding a woman for following instructions from her country, and it gets worse.
Not about you.
It's not about me. It's about all the people that I represent.
I didn't give you opportunity to talk. Please, I'm still talking. Listen.
So as he's yelling at her and calling her a dummy or a dumbhead, whatever you think, she's trying to say, like, hey, I'm trying to defend herself and what she did and why she did it.
Right.
And he's screaming at her that I'm still talking. You just listen. Mm-hmm. And then it gets weirder.
I still keep talking to everybody. Why you stand up to talk to me?
Because I have a voice and it's not for everybody.
No, you have a voice, but you have to respect security.
What?
He calls security to kick her out, and you hear all the women sigh. Raven, almost every single one of the women in that room got up and walked out after her.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Every single one was, like, protesting right along with her. And,
yeah.
And she got out, and I felt so bad for her, but she was so well-spoken and poised, I guess, if you're going to be Miss Universe, right?
I mean, yeah. You would think, right? She's been in some weird spots.
I truly love Tyler. I respect all of you. I think that you are amazing people. But what just your director did is not respectful. He called me dumb because he had problems with the organization. And I think that's not fair because I'm here and I do everything okay. I don't mess with anyone. I just try to be kind. I'm trying to give my best. And I think that the world needs to see this because we are empowered women.
Right. They're empowered women. And you want to know what? She's right. The world did see it. He was so worried about social media and the positive promotion of Thailand that he didn't realize that he just, you know, kicked himself.
Well, maybe she's going to win now. Right? I mean...
Well, and also...
A lot of these pageants are all dying, right? And I mean, because it is. It's this antiquated old thinking, right? Where this person is in charge and talking about that. Like, you can't disrespect people like that. Come on.
Well, also in the news yesterday, if you hadn't seen... So, Mexico has their first female president right now.
Okay.
And she was on a walk. She was on the walk from Mexico's National Palace to the Education Ministry in Mexico City.
All right.
And she was approached by a man who hugged her from behind and kissed her neck out of nowhere. First of all, she's the president of Mexico.
Yeah.
So she pressed charges. He was arrested and all that. But how did that guy even get that close to her? And it brings up a whole bigger conversation of, if that can happen to the president, what's happening behind closed doors and the treatment of women across the world?
Pretty wild stuff.
Yeah. Big day.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Friends. When it comes to friends, one of the greatest blessings in your life is them, right? But if someone asked you this, how would you respond?
How many really good friends do you have? Your best friends, the ones who matter the most.
How would you answer that, Raven? Because there's a scientific answer.
I was going to say, I think that you're going to tell me that there's a proper answer. Mm-hmm. Okay. Best friends. Ones that know everything. Probably three. Best friends. And I have probably 6 to 8 close friends, really close friends.
Right. Ready for the scientific answer?
Yeah, please go ahead.
I bet it's around 5, because that's the number that the social psychologist Robin Dunbar gave in his famous theory of social groupings.
Mm.
Yeah. So it turns out there's a whole lot of science around this and how many friends you should and should not have. And this guy's called, his name is Dunbar, the Dunbar theory. 5 close friends.
I do. I have like 5 best friends, 5, 6 really close friends. Yeah.
Okay. But it's not just that.
Yeah.
Then he turned to looking at the size of a human brain, and using his ratio, he hypothesized that humans can have an upper limit of 150 meaningful social contacts.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, who figured that out? Like, how do you know if you had to come up with a list of 100 and do you have to go through the contacts on your phone? That's got to be the way you figure it out.
Be
right?
A good place to start, right? Take a look at your online contacts, your social connections. Yeah, sure.
And weirdly, that 150 number does come up again and again. It's the size of army divisions, factory lines, pre-modern villages, hunter-gatherer tribes, and wedding invitation lists.
Isn't that weird?
Everything is better with an accent.
Well, it's true.
But yes. Okay. When you look at all those things, are they just stringing it together and creating evidence that doesn't exist? Or is there an actual reason that we've done this?
Well, they've studied primates, and what they saw is what the primates would do and the way that they would group each other and the way that they would travel in packs.
Right.
And then when they analyzed the human brain, they realized there's a lot of correlation between the two. So in summary,
Dunbar suggested that we have 5 intimate or best friends who we turn to in times of need. Mm-hmm. And then we have 15 sympathy friends who we see regularly and who know us well. 5 best friends, 15 regular friends, and 150 acquaintances.
Now, here's the question. If you have to figure out who your 5 best friends are, can you do that easily? Because it's been bothering me all day.
It's going to make people mad.
Well, right. Because I was like, if you found out that you were on somebody's top 5, right?
Yeah.
and they're not on yours.
Right.
That's a problem, right? I think nobody can ever disclose who their top five is.
Well, I mean, I think it's a bigger problem if they're on yours and you're not on theirs.
Well, you're upset then.
Then
I'd be
you don't
so sad.
Feel good.
I don't want to disappoint any of my friends. Like, what if they think I'm their bestest friend and I have them at number 7 on my top 15?
And as a guy, like, I mean, I would think it's probably the same for you too, but as a guy, like, I have best friends from when I was like 13 that we don't spend time together now, but I still consider them best friends.
They're probably number 76 on the list.
I mean, I was going to say 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, people that you deal with and some that move away.
So here's what you have to do. You can come up with your top five in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You can figure out your top 15. And even if you want to do your 150. But I think for the sake of everybody's happiness, you can never disclose that list to anybody else but yourself.
I think that that is a very good rule of thumb.
Yep. Who's the strangest stranger you ever sat down next to? We had an incident over the weekend. I was with my daughter and we were on a train. Hayden.
Hi.
How are you, my love?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Raven is here.
What's up?
Hi.
Can you tell Raven about the gentleman who sat down next to you on the train the other night?
What happened?
He was really gross.
I mean, we don't use words like gross.
Okay, because it's not very grown up, but I understand right. exactly what she means when she's saying it. Although, I need to know why was he gross and tell me why.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I unfortunately picked a seat and I put my bag next to me and he walked over and was like, I guess I'm going to have to sit here. So I had to move my bag.
Mm-hmm.
He sits down and he like keeps putting his arms up and it's like just sweat covered and he smells like BO. And then his arms had warts on them. So I was like sitting on top of my poor friend because I didn't want to be touching his wart arms.
Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, he was wearing a very short shirt sleeve, like short sleeve, short shirt.
Okay, I thought you meant like a half shirt.
No, it was very dirty. The shirt was very dirty.
Yeah.
And he kept, I was watching the warts get closer and closer to Hayden's arm. Now, of course, as a grown-up mother that I am and a responsible human being,
mm-hmm.
I was giggling and trying to hold in my giggles, watching her squirm closer to her friend.
So I take it there was no other actual open seats.
It was a busy train.
It was a busy train. Okay,
yeah.
So he actually did have reason to sit there. And obviously he came from work where he's very tired.
It was midnight. I don't think he was coming from work.
I mean, his shirt was sweaty and dirty. Where did he come from?
I don't know. We don't know. But the seat next to me was also open, and he opted not to sit next to me, but to sit next to Hayden.
Yeah, okay.
Which was good. So then he just kept moving closer to her. And first she looked at me, and she was like, Mommy, he smells. And what did I text you?
You said that's not nice.
It's not nice.
No, it's not nice. And we have to deal with all sorts of different types of people out there in the world.
But then she was right.
Yeah.
So then as
you
like,
could smell him from where you were sitting.
Yes. I was like the seats that face each other.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden I was like, and it was overpowering.
Fragrant.
It was. He raised his arms mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, wow. And then the guy that takes the tickets starts walking up and down. And Hayden, what happened?
Well, the guy sitting next to me, he had like his luggage in the aisle. And the conductor, ticket checker guy was like, you can't have your luggage in the aisle. You have to put it in the overhead things. And the guy said, okay, but I'm getting off soon, so I'm not going to do that. The guy like walks away and comes back and is like, sir, you have to do it now. So the guy takes out his like computer bag, puts it up against your bag, Mom, and then takes his luggage and raises his arms. And it was like an aggressively long time. He was putting it in the overhead compartment things.
Full BO.
So yep.
full be
so,
but he took the laptop out and he put it on the seat across from him, which was next to you. Anna.
Yeah, he threw it right against my purse.
He threw it.
Yeah, he like tossed it right against my purse.
Tossed
my purse was
it.
Discarded. Yeah, and the first thing he said to the guy that was collecting tickets was like, "Oh, I don't know which stop I'm getting off yet." And I thought, "Why? Why don't you know?" You know, but I didn't want to, you know, engage any further.
Yeah, you're waiting for the universe to speak to you, basically.
He was a strange bird in my mind. I was thinking, I wish this guy didn't sit next to my baby.
Right.
You know?
Right. Anybody else's baby would have been far more entertaining.
Right. Yes.
But given the fact that it was your baby, it was still a little bit better than if he had sat next to you.
Well, no.
It doesn't quite sound that way, but all right.
All right. All right. Well, Hayden, what did we learn about public transportation?
Plug your nose and be ready to squirm onto your friend.
Mm-hmm. There
Bring
you go.
Sanitizer.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. you meet a lot of strange people when you're out in public. Who's the strangest person you ever met? 1-800-330-9999. Were they strange in a good way or were they strange in a bad way?
What's up with that stranger that's sitting next to you right now?
It's always interesting when you sit down next to a stranger because you don't know, are they going to be awesome or are they going to be, well, you know, a little bit different?
Yeah. Are we going to talk? Are we going to interact? Are we going to stare at the floor and ignore each other? The other day, Anna, I encountered the my personal phone call is important. I'm in no rush whatsoever to end this conversation.
Oh, when they're on their phone the whole time. Oh, that drives me nuts.
Here's the thing. When I answer the phone or call somebody, I've got some basic questions. Even if I want to conversate, we're only going to talk for a few minutes. And if I'm in public, it's really all business. Yes, this is where I am. This is when I'll be done. What are we talking about? Moving forward. This person, they just sat there and did that thing. They were like, so what are you up to? As soon as you hear that, you know that this is going to be longer than it needs to be.
But sometimes you sit next to people and it could be life-changing, like Bill Belichick and his girlfriend, Jordan. They sat next to each other on the plane, and look, now they're in love forever.
Right, and all of America supports that.
Yes. Who is the strangest person you sat next to? Was it good? Was it bad? 1-800-330-9999.
Justin, tell us. You sat down next to a stranger? What happened?
It was actually opposite. A stranger sat down next to me. I was flying to Dallas in Newark Airport, and I had gotten there, and there was crazy winds and storms coming, and it got delayed. So I had about 3.5 hours to kill in the airport. I sat down at one of fairly empty bar at the time because it was early. I was tired. I was a little frustrated with the delays. And all of a sudden, a gentleman sits down next to me. And I recognize him from a job I'd worked previously, a famous person. I made very, very light small talk, and it ended up being Ric Flair.
Whoa!
Ric Flair turned out to be this old, crotchety, misogynistic jerk.
Aww.
It wasn't just the comments he made to the bartenders. It wasn't the comments he made to the other female passengers around. It was things he said to me. You know, how he would have been luckier to sit next to a pretty woman than a guy like me and stuff like that. And
wow.
Interaction really turned me off. It was so frustrating after a frustrating morning.
Yeah. So you went out and immediately body slammed somebody so you could feel better about it because they say don't meet your heroes.
And that's true.
Yeah.
I attest to that.
When I walked away, I said, I'm happy to leave.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Have a great day, Justin. What a bummer.
Amy, the strangest stranger you ever sat next to.
Okay. So I used to work at this call center for, it doesn't matter where, but anywho, we used to have different teams. So, you know, you would get moved to a different set of people that you would sit with. And I was pregnant with my first child. And the man that they sat me next to, he used to drink a can of Coke and he would eat pork rinds and he would eat peanuts. And it smelled terrible. I mean, he used to eat it every day. It was a snack. And it was just the worst. He was a stranger because I didn't know him. Mm-hmm. And I can still smell the smell to this day, 3 kids later. And it was just terrible. It was like literally it sticks out of my mind. And this, the baby I'm talking about is 12. So this is 12 years ago. Yeah. And I can still smell it. And it still stinks. And he used to eat it every day. And, you know, there's only like a little mini divider between you.
Yeah.
So I was clearly smelling him all day long.
Yeah.
And it was the worst experience ever.
Well, it's always weird when you have to sit next to somebody and they start eating something. That happens a lot on a plane, too, because they brought food on and it stinks. You
Listen,
know?
A soda, pork rinds and peanuts every single day. She doesn't have to worry about that stranger anymore. He's deceased.
Okay.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I just don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. The Couples Court is brought to you by AT&T, a network that is making connections for Americans. Connecting changes everything. Learn more at att.com. Rob and Mel. Mel, let's start with you. What's going on?
So I am hosting a Stella and Dot party at our house, and it's for my boss, and he asked me to invite all my friends. And my boss says that the people are looking for holiday gifts and that it's going to be super fun and they're going to get these like super great deals. My husband's not a big fan. I just think that it's, you know, it's going to be a fun time and it puts me in a better light at work.
So hold on. Your boss sells this stuff? It's kind of like a Tupperware or whatever they're selling.
I was going to say, what's Stella and Dot?
Stella and Dot. Oh, it's, yeah, it's actually cute stuff. It's jewelry, and I bought my makeup bags from there.
Okay.
That like 100 years ago, I still use them. Yeah, okay.
We have a lot of cute jewelry stuff, and, you know, I just think it's going to be a fun, like, girls' night at the house, and we're going to have all these fun things. I don't know. I don't think it's so bad. It's just a party at her house, and it looks good for me at work.
Rob, what's your why? Why don't you want her to host this?
Babe, I've been telling you this. It's a pyramid scheme. I don't know why you can't see that. It is a pyramid scheme. I understand this is work, but it just feels sleazy to me. Like you're inviting over our friends under false pretense. Oh, yeah, it's just a girls' night. Now buy a bunch of stuff. It feels wrong to me. I can't believe that they're having you do their dirty work for you. That's what it feels like. It just feels sleazy to me, and I don't like inviting people under false pretenses. It feels like a pyramid scheme.
The boss is an interesting dynamic with this, right? Because in some ways, I tend to agree, feels a little bit inappropriate, right? In other ways, I mean, it is just a get-together. If they buy stuff, they buy stuff, and if they don't, they don't. And I guess that you would really have to make your friends understand that. However, let's imagine the boss comes and completely strikes out. You got to think in the back of their mind, that's kind of something for you.
You get invited to one of these parties.
Yeah.
Like the Stella and Dot, the Tupperware, whatever. You have to buy something. The Mary Kay's. You have to. It's all part of the thing. You go there. You're not going there just because it's a holiday party. You're going there to buy stuff.
Okay.
So, I mean, I can understand why Rob says it feels weird, especially because your boss asked you to do it. But
that's awkward.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about any of that.
Does your boss wear the stuff? Just a random question.
I'm on the website right now.
Yeah, no, my boss does wear it. I mean, we all wear it. Like, I don't think it's a big deal. Like, nobody's forced to buy anything, right? They're just showing up to the party, but many will buy things. Yeah. It's not really a big deal. People do this all the time at their houses. It's just our house's turn.
Why can't your boss do it?
Well, I mean, the boss can do it. The problem is that you have to have it at other people's houses that bring people that don't normally buy
different
from
people.
Her.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they get somebody else underneath them to sign up and go, oh, it's so fun. You can be doing it on your own, too. Oh, boy.
Pyramid scheme.
Do they not have makeup bags anymore? That's disappointing.
Oh, well, that's sad. What do you think? Would you do this for your boss? Your boss asks you to invite a bunch of your friends. This is people from your phone, from your guest book, to come to a party that they're going to throw at your house where they are going to be selling products. Do you let them do that? Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
1-800-330-9999. If your boss asked for you to host a party at your home so they could sell their Stella and Dot stuff, that's, if you're not familiar with that, it's, you know, it's like one of those things, the Tupperware parties,
it's just another one
Mary
of those
Kay
things
parties.
That they're selling. It's jewelry and stuff like that.
Would you do it? Because, well, she wants to. She says it's great. Melanie says, why not? Like, sure. My boss wants me to do it. I've got a bunch of friends. We'll come over. I'll have some wine, some apps. It'll be a great time. But Rob disagrees.
Yeah, Rob would rather die, basically. He says, like, it's like selling out. He's like, and it almost feels like we're selling out our friends. And you've got to give them the heads up at the very least that you're going to do that. By the way, Mel never said that she wasn't going to tell them it was this type of party. She wasn't going to ambush them with this. But, you know, Rob just says, given the fact that it's your boss, like, this is a thing that should not happen.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Virginia, who said you on?
I think they should have the party. I think they're fun. I would definitely sell things before the party starts and get credit at the party. So it takes some stress off the host. And I would get some free jewelry or whatever they're selling. I just put some hors d'oeuvres out. It's very easy to do and goes pretty quick and it's fun. I'm on the wife's side.
Thanks, Virginia. I appreciate the call.
If you're pouring wine, I'll go to a party. And if you're pouring wine, I'll do wine math and I'll probably buy something. But it doesn't mean that after I'll feel good about it.
I think they're fun, too. I think it's nice. It's like an excuse to get together and see people you haven't seen in a while. And if they're selling cool stuff, like, sure, why not? I think the awkwardness is that your boss is holding it, so you almost felt that you have to do this.
Obligated, right.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. If your boss asked you to host one of those parties at your house where you invite all your friends and then you buy stuff, like, you know, Mary Kay, the makeup, the jewelry,
sure,
that kind of thing.
There's a bunch of different lines.
Would you do it? because Mel says, yeah, why not? Like, it sounds fun to me. I can invite all my friends and it'll put me in a good position with my boss. But her husband, Rob, has a real big problem with this.
Yeah, he just thinks it's inappropriate. He says, listen, if it was such a great deal, if it was so awesome, they wouldn't need your help to do any of this stuff. And it's your boss. It feels like a conflict of interest with our friends. You know, if our friends come, they're going to feel obligated to buy. And this is not really your thing. So who really cares? Why would we want this in our house?
Yeah, I believe he called it a pyramid scheme. I'm not sure that's the right word for it. But,
well,
you know,
when they sign somebody up to be a seller underneath them.
Yes,
and whatnot.
Yes.
I mean, it is. Listen, it's all funny. When these things come out, I find that when a product comes out and it's first new, or a line of these things comes out and it's first new, everybody's excited. They like the parties. It's new stuff, right? And then 6 months later, they're like, don't do that.
What do you think? Would you have the party? 1-800-330-9999. Patrick, whose side are you on?
Actually, I'm going to be on the wife's side today because I actually have done events like this in the past for my boss.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great networking opportunity. So it's a good chance to get higher in her job.
All right.
That's great. I mean, that's probably what she's thinking. If my boss asked me to do anything, I would be pretty willing to do it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because when I did this, I was able to become a manager right after because I was... networking with so many people got me right up to management.
Mm-hmm.
I just read this whole article about how networking and climbing the social ladder at work has nothing to do with showing up to meetings. It has to do what happens on the golf course,
yeah.
What happens on the school playground. That's where the real networking lies.
If you've got people that say, I like working with this person or enjoy your interactions with them, you're going to do more business.
Right. If they're a cool person and you're friends with them, you help them out.
Right. Hey, Mary, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
Two points. One, the boss can request other things at another time, even though she's excited about it. You know, it's not appropriate. And the other thing is that if you don't tell your guests that that's the ultimate purpose of the get-together, it's problematic. I went to a get-together, which I thought was like a cooking thing, and it was like, you know, hey, this is fun. And then I saw all the products. And, you know, you feel pressure.
Right,
especially
right.
Especially if you don't need any of that stuff.
Right, right. You came here, you had never heard of this before you got here. And now you need all of it.
Denise, whose side are you on?
I agree with the guy. He's 100% right. It's all fine and well if you want her to host it. Rent out a space. Ask her to bring her friends, that's fine. But when her friends come to her house, they're going to feel obligated to have to buy. But if you're having it someplace and she's inviting her friends... they're not obligated.
Mm. The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Rob, our audience agreed with you. It was inappropriate, Melanie, for your boss to ask you to do that because essentially it's making her money and it's probably against company policy if you look into it. So they felt as uncomfortable it is that you're going to have to tell your boss that you can't do it. You're going to have to come up with some excuse why you can't host it and cancel.
I am not looking forward to lying, and I don't agree, but, you know, this is what the people think.
Be careful with the lie, because if you say, like, Rob's got a league, or it's this, or it's that, or whatever, she's going to offer another date. She's going to counter.
Yeah, right.
So just go with something that means they can never be there. You know what? Sorry, guys. Just found out rat infestation at my house. Not a good time.
Sure.
Rob, you have to be happy to hear this.
Absolutely. People have come to their senses. Honestly, they won't say it to your face, but your friends will hate you for it if we did something like this. So thank you that we're not doing it.
Wow.
Okay. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,800.
5 more minutes.
Okay. Denise and Jody. Jody, you ready to play today?
I am.
Okay, let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, Denise. $2,800.
It's Jody.
Jody.
Yes. Thank you. It's both of us. It's okay.
It's both of them. All right, so here's the thing, ladies. I think I made these questions a little easy today, so I need you to do your
good.
Best to get all five.
We
okay?
need them. We
all
need right. easy.
Yeah, okay. Raven can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in, get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Yes.
Number 1, David Beckham became Sir David Beckham this week after he was knighted by who?
King Charles.
Number 2, Jelly Roll has lost so much weight that his fans have started calling him Veggie Roll. What imitation fish is typically found in a California roll?
Crab.
Number three, Oprah's annual favorite things list includes a $2,000 espresso machine and a pair of reading glasses for the shower. In what city did the Oprah Winfrey Show film?
Chicago.
Number four, Miss Piggy from The Muppets is getting her own movie with Jennifer Lawrence and Emma Stone set to produce it and possibly star in it. What is Miss Piggy's signature catchphrase when she gets angry? That's time, ladies. And number five, 5 years after he was fired, which host will make his return to Dancing with the Stars next Tuesday as a guest judge? They're celebrating the show's 20th anniversary.
Got fired. Oh, it's not Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay, that's time. Let me bring Raven back in.
Raven, leave your brain in that room. Okay.
3 out of 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not great, not terrible. Let's see how I do.
Number one, David Beckham became Sir David Beckham this week after he was knighted by who?
King Charles.
That's right.
That's who does the knighting.
Number two, Jelly Roll has lost so much weight that his fans have started calling him Veggie Roll. What imitation fish is typically found in a California roll?
Crab.
Crab is correct.
Yeah, he looks incredible.
He looks like a different person.
Yeah.
Number three, Oprah's annual favorite things list includes a $2,000 espresso machine and a pair of reading glasses for the shower. I get it. If you can't read the shampoo bottle and all that, you need one that are not going to fog up.
I mean, just read it before you get in when you bought it. Yes. How about that?
In what city did the Oprah Winfrey Show film?
Chicago.
Right, you guys are tied at three.
Famous Chicago.
Number four, Miss Piggy from The Muppets is getting her own movie with Jennifer Lawrence and Emma Stone set to produce and star in it. Good. I've been waiting for that. I love Miss Piggy.
How has there not been one?
I know. What is Miss Piggy's signature catchphrase when she gets angry?
She usually karate chops people and says, hi-ya!
That's right. Hi-ya!
That was what you were looking for?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Number five. 5 years
she
after
would
he
go,
was,
mwah.
She would go, and then she would, hi-ya! And then she would chop you.
Mwah.
Number kisses. Five. 5 years after he was fired, which host will make his return to Dancing with the Stars next Tuesday as a guest judge?
My man, Tom Bergeron.
Yeah, and he said he was never going to return ever, but that was not true. He's returning.
I mean, listen, write a nice check. The emotions, you know, they cool out after a while. Why not?
5 to 3 today, Jody and Denise. Wow. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Jody, Denise, and Jen, and we can't beat Raven.
Where did Jen come from? She's about to know.
Jen was our backup for, like, the kids' stuff.
Oh. Well,
she must have had your way back.
Yeah.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, you three. $2,900 tomorrow, Anna.